Turn with me this morning, please, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Very familiar passage of Scripture, usually preached at this time of year. I want to use it as a launching pad for a message that I have on this last Sunday of the month, last Sunday of the year. Philippians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Trust everyone had a wonderful Christmas day, maybe a few days off, maybe getting back to work. Kids go back to school this coming week, I think. Don't get too excited, parents, about that. Your kids may feel like you don't like them. Philippians chapter 4, chapter 3, I'm sorry, did I say 4? Chapter 3, sorry, sweetie, up there in the sound booth. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I'm having a great morning. So the verses on the screen are wrong, and that's my fault. Philippians chapter 3. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. One thing I do. If you're going to do anything this coming year, do this one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. If you're going to do one thing, do what Paul said he did. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, he said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I want to talk this morning about excess baggage. Excess baggage. What are we carrying this morning that we can leave behind in this coming year? Most everyone here has probably gone through airport security. I've told you a few stories about my airport security experiences. Like most of us, I have probably forgotten to take out that bottle of water or my pocket knife. I think I've lost at least 3 very nice pocket knives through airport security. And, you know, sometimes you think it is overkill. Sometimes you think it's pretty ridiculous what they do. But at the end of the day, I am grateful for our TSA agents to help keep us safe so we can fly confidently wherever we want to go. Amen? Amen. And so, airport security, things you can't bring with you. We might think they're insignificant, you know, just 3 ounces of whatever it is and no more. Why is that? Why did we take off our shoes? Why did we take off our belt? Why did that security agent, that lady, flip on rubber gloves and tell me to bend over? She was only joking. She smiled at the end of that. I'll never forget that story. They want to keep us safe. They know the things that could be harmful on our trip. And so in this new year, I think there's some things that you and I should not bring with us into this journey of the new year of 2019. Now, not all of us may fall into these categories. There may be other things for you. I'm going to list 3 of them this morning, but the 4th one I've left blank so that you can fill it in. What is something that you would rather not take into the new year with you? Cheryl and I have finally, from the celebration you gave us after we were here 40 years of pastoring, I turned 65, and we were married 45 years. You raised money to send us to Hawaii. Believe it or not, we finally scheduled a date. And so Cheryl and I will leave Friday, January 11th, for a week in Hawaii, thanks to you and your generosity. And it took us a long time because of scheduling and district events, church events, and family and everything. But finally, we're going to get ready to go. So thank you very much. Give yourself a hand for providing that for us. Amen. We'll miss you. We're going to enjoy ourselves, though, and we thank you very much for that. But we will go through security. They'll make sure that we don't take excess baggage. So we'll pack, repack, and pack again to get everything down as small as we need. I mean, pretty much when you go to Hawaii, about all you need is just what you got on, just about. We'll probably do it. Unfortunately, though, when we talk about the spiritual journey, the new year, there's nothing really special about it, except it just on the calendar, it flips over another year. But it does give us an opportunity to reevaluate the past year and to look forward to the new year and ask ourselves, are there some things that we've been carrying around with us that probably need to be left at home, that need to be forgotten? In Paul's words, forgetting those things which are behind. There's some things that we just can't do anything about, so we need to leave them behind. And the first one that I want to mention this morning is the word regrets. The word regrets. I think regrets are some of the items that we need to leave off the journey going into 2019. It's interesting about regrets. I think we all have them. I don't know all of your stories, but I know mine. I think of the three things that I'm going to mention this morning, this one hits me closer than any of the others in my evaluation, these regrets. I wrestle with that. I wrestle with regret. I look back and think, if I would have done this differently, it might have changed things. If I only would have said this instead of that. If I had only done that a little quicker. If I wouldn't have been quite as lethargic in dealing with that situation, maybe things would be different. Regrets. And I deal with those regrets. How many are with Pastor this morning? You say, yeah, that's me too, right? So a few of you. All right. The rest of you, you're dismissed. You can go. The rest of the sermon won't make any difference. I think we all have them. I wish I'd have spent more time with my children. I wish I'd have played more with my grandkids. I wish I would have put my cell phone away and just spent time with family. You know, regrets, we have them. But what are we going to do with them? What are we going to do about them? The one thing about regrets is that there really is nothing we can do. I mean, we can try to change things. We can try to go back and make things better if we want to, but when you allow regrets to become part of your baggage, it's excess baggage. Forgetting those things that are behind, we have to just put them where they belong, putting those things that are behind. Fulton Ousler, the author of the book, The Greatest Story Ever Told, raised in a Baptist home, would become an agnostic, and after two trips to Israel, would come back and be so touched by his journey there that he would write a number of books, the first one being The Greatest Story Ever Told, and would eventually come back to faith. He said this about regrets. He said, many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves, regret for the past and fear of the future. Many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves. First of all, regrets for the past and fear of the future. And I think that's sometimes what regret will do. Regrets will cause you to be afraid of moving forward. And that's why I think Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forward to those things that are ahead. We should never be afraid of the future because God is already there. Amen? God is already there. He's already in our future. He's not going to catch up with us. We're going to catch up with Him. But many times, according to this quote, that our regrets that we have of what we've done in the past make us afraid to move forward. What if I make the same mistake again? How many here has ever made the same mistake twice? Three times? Four times? Oh my, five, oh, there we go. Over and over and over. Maybe we have done it over and over, but you know, failure is just an opportunity to begin again more intelligently. I believe it was Henry Ford that said that. And so that's what regrets are. Regrets may be failures, but it should never hinder us from moving forward into the future. God certainly doesn't hold it against us. And so what are you regretting today? What regrets do you have this past year? And we could just list them this morning, but it's better if you put them into words in your own heart. Regrets. I regret that I did this. I regret that I didn't do that. I regret that I wasn't more friendly. I regret that I wasn't, you know, didn't spend more time in prayer. I regret that I didn't save more money. I regret that I didn't do more for the Lord. Whatever. Put those things aside. God's not hanging them over your head. And so, regrets. Some of you that are my age and older will remember John Barrymore. John Barrymore said this about regrets: a man is not old until regrets take the place of dreams. A man is not old till regrets take the place of dreams. Sadly, I think that happened with John Barrymore. He had a very tumultuous life and probably not a happy ending. Maybe that's you today. Maybe the regrets have taken place of your dreams. That's what happens when we stay in the past. That's what happens when we let regrets crucify us and tell us how we're going to live. I would rather keep on dreaming and not become old, right? I may become old physically, but I never want to be old mentally. I forever want to stay 16 in my brain. How many are with me on that? Amen? Now, my body reminds me I'm not. All right? However, I never want to stop dreaming. I never want to stop dreaming of what's possible with the Lord's help. I never want to stop dreaming about what my grandchildren can do and accomplish, and my great-grandchildren or great-great-grandchildren. You know, you say, Pastor, how do you know you'll live that long to see great-great-grandchildren? That's part of the dream, right? It's part of the dream. I don't want regrets to drag me down. And so, if you're at the airport security of the new year, the TSA agent is probably going to look in your bag and see regrets in there. They're probably going to take it out and say, you can't take this with you. We can mail it to you if you'd like to. We can mail that 1095 pocket knife to you, but it will cost you $99.95 or whatever. And so... do you want to take your regrets into the new year? No, thank you. Put them in that barrel. Put them in that box. I don't want to take my regrets into the new year. That's what all of us ought to say. Amen? Lord, I don't want to take regrets with me. So I commit those regrets to the Lord. How? Verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind. Lord, help me to put regrets in their place. I can't change anything. I can only try better this coming year. So put it in its place. Leave it in the past. And I think the cure for it is to reach forward to those things which are ahead. Reach forward. Reach for it. Reach for something. Try to do better. Take another opportunity to be better at what you haven't been better at, what you haven't been good at this past year. Regrets. Number two. Excess baggage, things that we don't want to take into the new year with us. The second word is resentments. Resentments. And this sense of resentment. Now, this may not apply to everyone. Maybe it will. Resentment is that sense that you're going to get even. You're going to get even. Somebody hurt me. Somebody said something about me. Something happened. And I resent that. I resent that. And so I'm going to get even. I'm going to have another R word, retribution. I'm going to deal with that. Resentment, my friend, is a poison. Resentment is a poison. I'm not arguing the fact that people say things they should not say. I know growing up and even in my adult life, I've had people say things to me that really upset me, really bothered me. But I learned early on, and I won't say that I'm perfect at this because I'm not, but I learned early on that if I carry resentment with me in my pocket, it's going to poison everything else in my life. It really is. It's going to just eventually destroy me if I let it. This sense of resentment. I resent the fact that you said this. I resent the fact that you did this. And I don't, you know, sometimes we think of these things in relationship to to church family. And then sometimes we relegate them only out to the world around us that we live in, family, physical family, etc. But resentment can come from a lot of different sources. Resentment can come from something a pastor says. I would never intentionally hurt anyone with my words. I would pray, God, please let my words be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And yet I know full well that I've probably said things preaching over these many, many, many years that maybe made someone resentful toward me. Maybe they felt I knew information, I was meddling. Maybe they felt like it was a personal attack. And I can honestly say I've never tried to do that. And yet I know that I probably said things and people resent it. And I can't do anything about that except apologize if it comes to my attention. And I've had to do that. Through these many years of pastoring, I've had, not often, but I've had someone say, you know, I was really offended at what you said. And I was quick to apologize and let them know it was not personal at all. But what I've discovered is sometimes when a pastor preaches on certain things, especially if the individual is dealing with that, sometimes they feel like the pastor's picking on them. Understand this morning, I'm not picking on anybody. I love everybody. I love everyone here in this building. I really do. And I would never pick on you. But if you've got some resentment going on in your life, don't shoot the messenger. Hello? Amen? I'm just the pigeon. Just take the thing off my leg and read it. That's from the Lord. Amen? Don't have pigeon for dinner. No, sometimes resentment happens. If we don't deal with it, we will never have rejoicing. See, regrets, when we deal with those properly, we end up having release. How many know when you put regrets where they ought to go, it's a release? Boy, there's nothing better than being released from regrets. Resentments really stop rejoicing. And so if we can deal with resentment, not carry it with us into the new year, then we will have rejoicing. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. It ought to be just a couple of pages backwards. And I do mean it, chapter 4, in this one. I got it wrong on Philippians, but Ephesians chapter 4. This, again, will be a familiar verse. In regards to resentment, consider this. Verse 31 of Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, means loud quarreling, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. All of those things are byproducts, I think, of resentment. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. If you show up at the security gate for this coming new year, I don't think the security agent ought to let us in if we've got all those things in our bag. Those things we ought to leave behind. Amen? Those are dangerous. They can do harm not only to us but others. What is the cure? Verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving one another. What is the cure for resentment? It is forgiving. It is being willing to forgive. How often do we use that word? It has almost become a cliche in the Christian community. Oh, let's forgive them, or I forgive them, or whatever. But true, deep-seated forgiveness is a willingness to release someone for what they have said or what they have done. That's how we rid ourselves of resentment going into a new year. We have to forgive. It's interesting that today, December 30th, in the year 1944, a woman named, that you'll recognize, no doubt, Corrie Ten Boom, was released from Ravensbrück concentration camp. She was a young girl from Holland, and along with her family, hid Jews that were being slaughtered by Nazi Germany. It is the focus of a movie called The Hiding Place. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were put in Ravensbrück concentration camp, and Betsy would die there. But because of a clerical error wrote something and put the wrong name down, that Corrie Ten Boom was allowed to leave that prison when she was really going to be put to death. But by accident, an accidental thing, they released her. As her time in that concentration camp, when you read her story, the atrocities that were done to her and her sister are unspeakable. Corrie Ten Boom said this about resentment. She said, "Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred." Let me repeat it. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. That's what forgiveness can do. Hallelujah. That from a woman who anyone would probably say, you have a right to be resentful. There's no way should you forgive those horrible guards and what they did to you and your sister and your whole family. And yet Corrie, with her deep faith in God, understood that unless she forgave, resentment would continue to be a prison and shackles on her life, and so she forgave them. Verbally forgave them. But then one day, Corrie Ten Boom, she became what she called the tramp for the Lord. She began to wander just around wherever the Lord led her, and she would preach. She was preaching at a meeting one day, and she was preaching on forgiveness. And a man walked from the back of the building and walked up to the front and asked for prayer. And she looked at him and he looked familiar. And as she stepped down to pray with him, he said, "You don't recognize me, do you?" And she says, "Well, you look familiar, but I've seen a lot of people." He said, "Remember Ravensbrück concentration camp? I was one of the guards that allowed your sister to die. And I ask you now, can you forgive me?" And at that moment, Corrie Ten Boom writes in her book, she had to make a decision on forgiveness and resentment. Was it all just talk? Or was the scripture true that we should be kind one to another, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you? And for that moment, which really was just a split second, she made the decision that forgiving someone wasn't just in words, but it was in action. And she embraced that guard and cried and prayed for him, and he gave his heart to Jesus. Resentment. Resentment. Look at verse 15 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. "See then that you walk circumspectly," or "carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. How can we forgive? We can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And instead of resentment, it can be replaced with rejoicing. Amen? Rejoicing. The last thing I want to say this morning doesn't finish the list. The fourth thing is you'll have to fill in the blank. What is it that you're maybe carrying from 2019 that you need to leave back and not take with you, or 2018 that you shouldn't take with you into 2019? You can fill in the fourth one. But the third one is reproach. The word reproach, when you look at it closely, can really be defined as self-condemnation. Let me read Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The third thing that we should not take into 2019 is reproach or self-condemnation. Stop beating yourself down because Jesus wants to lift you up. Stop beating yourself down, because that's, I'm afraid, what some do. They condemn themselves. They're a reproach to themselves, and they beat themselves down because of failures, inabilities, whatever. I want to tell you that self-condemnation is really fueled by the enemy. He's the one that provides the fodder. You all know how big a fire can get when you just add more fuel, right? You make a little campfire to roast marshmallows. You keep adding enough fuel, and you can roast a cow. And that's what the enemy does. He keeps adding fuel. Well, you did this. Shame on you for doing this. And you said this, and you thought this. And on he adds the fuel. And if you keep taking the fuel, and if I keep taking the fuel, we'll build the fire bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Stop beating yourself down. Jesus wants to build you up. Don't take self-condemnation into the new year. No. Instead, the scripture says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because there is freedom from the law of sin and death. Freedom. I want to go into the new year free. How about you? Amen? Well, those are the three I've put down. There are more. But you can pick one for yourself. And if by chance you're in the rare minority, maybe you can say, no problems with me. I'm going into the new year with no excess baggage. I hope that's right. But if not, I hope the TSA agent catches you. Stopped you. I hope you walk through that little square thing and put your hands out and let that thing roll around you. And I hope everything shows up and that lady puts on the gloves and says, bend over. We need to go into the new year free. Amen. 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 Let's stand together. Thank you, Father, for the power of your word. Thank you for the challenge you've given all of us to leave some things behind. Forgetting those things that are behind. Regret, resentment, reproach, leave them behind. Lord, we want to go into 2019 free, rejoicing, excited. about what God has for us. Thank you, Lord, that your word is so powerful, sharp and powerful, piercing, dividing asunder even where soul and spirit meet. It goes way down deep. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us what we need to do. Father, there's no blame to be cast on anybody today. We all wrestle with some of these things. I've explained the one that I wrestle with, regrets. Lord, I pray. I don't want to take any regrets into this coming year. I know I've not been successful in everything. I know I've failed. I know there's been some things in this past year that I should have done differently. But Lord, I don't want to take regrets into the new year. I want to take my dreams into the new year. I want to take my dreams into the new year. So Lord, we thank you for doing that work in all of our hearts and all of our lives. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to listen to your word, to hear your word, to read your word. And I pray that somehow something that has been said would be of great help to someone today so that they can walk freely into the new year with you by their side, knowing that there are great days ahead. We give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering and say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your word today. Amen. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. Thanks for coming. We'll see you, if not before, next Sunday in God's house.